I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Good afternoon.
Who's that?
Hey, hey, how are you?
Good, Ez, how are you?
Not bad. You know, sometimes the scariest thing is the font.
That's right.
That's an appropriate intro today.
Okay.
Do you guys ever get scared by fonts?
John doesn't like Old English font. I know that.
It's quite serious.
But I don't know if he's scared of it. I think actually John is scared of a lot of things he doesn't like. I think it's because he doesn't understand it.
Maybe some of the, I don't know, like Norwegian black metal fonts are a little bit intimidating.
You can't even read it though.
Yeah, it's just a pile of sticks, mate.
Yeah, just relax, man. Which is what?
A pyre? So, one font that has the possibility of striking fear into the hearts of people that aren't fans kind of goes hand in hand with the music for it, and that's the opening sequence to Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is back for its staggering 11th season.
Still going.
I don't think this is a show that you can be on the fence about. What's your take on this, boys?
Yeah, I'm into it.
Yep.
I tap in every once in a while and we'll just watch an episode or two from a random season and go, yep, it's funny.
I jumped in, same sort of thing, about 5th season a while ago and watched like a couple of seasons, you know, just that kind of buzz.
I think it has bottled pretty well because, you know, obviously there's those universal elements. People haven't stopped being annoying. People have just sort of been annoying since the dawn of humanity. So there's plenty for it to draw on. But kind of buzzed me out thinking about how old the show actually is. So we've had 11 seasons. It does feel like it's been around forever, but it kind of almost has been around forever. It started in 2000, which I did some extensive research on the internet, and I found that other shows that started in the year 2000 were CSI, Gilmore Girls, Malcolm in the Middle, Survivor, etc., etc. So, hey, look, you know, Survivor's still kicking. CSI is still doing its thing. But
when
boy,
did you say it started?
A long time ago. 2000.
I was just asking John when the British Office started. And it turns out that's 2001. So, because I feel like the American Office is actually Curb Your Enthusiasm in a sense that you're just watching like the main character just dig himself deeper into holes and dying on screen, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what it's all about. I don't know how current you guys are with Curb, but I wondered when it came back last year after taking a couple of years off. It's had quite a weird kind of inconsistent release schedule. Like it hasn't just sort of been on every year. Obviously, right. Since it's now 2021, it started in 2000. There's only been 11 seasons, but must have had some time off. But it took a 5-year break between 2011 and then came back in 2017. Then it took a few other years off. I wondered last year how it would actually function in 2020, whether Larry David's comedy was actually going to be 2020 proof, whether, you know, a grumpy old white man really needed to moan about things for another bunch of episodes. And I found that last year the show maybe struck its best balance yet of making him both the hero and the villain of the show, depending on kind of situation to situation. Like that, I don't think it's always been that way. I mean, obviously no one's supposed to think that I don't think you'd want to emulate the Larry David we see in Curb Your Enthusiasm, right? But certainly he's become a much more painful character. I think the show knows it more than it used to, perhaps. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. It's back again. We've had COVID. This year's question going into the show was, how's Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is built on all these kind of microaggressions of everyday life, going to work when we've sort of been deprived of those interactions with people? And they solved that problem by kind of just jumping past the fact that there ever was a pandemic. Larry says at one point he's sanitizes his hands and offers some Purell to the people he's with, and he's like, remember back in the pandemic people would hoard this stuff? Ch- Turns out you can just write around these things with one line of dialogue.
Perfect.
For sure. Do you have a peak season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, if you're going to like recommend one season out of the 11?
Oh, man, that's a very difficult question. You've already put me on the spot. This is cutting journalism right here. This is an ambush of John Campbell proportions. I really, really liked last season, but I don't know if it's a place to start because it sort of depends on so much inbuilt awareness of sort of what's going on with Larry in general and the characters. But, you know, watching Larry David he's used so many feeble excuses in his life in the show. He's done so many pathetic things to get out of making an effort with people. But when he discovered what you could get away with when wearing a MAGA hat, i.e. people don't want to talk to you or sit with you, I thought that was a fantastic moment. And also, it's probably the only comedy that could have successfully pulled off a narrative about a Weinstein Me Too situation where you kind of sort of understood that it was a misunderstanding. I'm not sure. Anyway, I really loved last season. Look, there's, you know, 100 episodes to watch. So
are there shows doing it better now?
Well, that's a good question. I think he sort of just has bottled something. And, obviously this is a dude who clearly does not need to do the show for money. He almost certainly would have never needed to do anything again after his work on Seinfeld. So that is just a pursuit of his own his own interest, but it's working. I don't know. I can't think of a modern equivalent.
Maybe that, I forget her name, but I think it was called, is it called Flea or Fleabag? Or that series was quite self-defecating, if that's the way you put it. I can forget who it was, but even what it was called.
That's a good comparison. So the Waller Bridges show, Fleabag, yeah. That kind of centres an unpleasant character right at the epicentre of things.
Right.
There's probably some more theatrical elements to that, but yeah, that's not a...
It's a bit more Peep Show comparison. In the sense that she'll talk to herself and stuff, I think. But
And the other thing that sprung to mind about last season, actually, was, we're sort of talking about this... this man brimming with wealth and privilege... and so how does he spend said wealth and privilege in the season? Well, he gets cheesed off at a coffee shop, and so he opens a competing shop directly next door to put it out of business, called a Spite Store.
It's good. And, I've watched these episodes. It's good. It's
absurd.
Good.
So absurd. I loved it.
Great. It's great. That's what rich people should be doing. I guess that's what Bezos is doing a little bit with his rockets.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, if you think back in the olden days to radio station 96.1, that was a spite store of radio stations, sort of trying to spite out Channel Z and BFM, sort of in one fell swoop. Not that either of those other stations are on the air anymore, so sucked in.
Skadoosh.
So Curb's back. Episode 1 was last night. Some great guest stars.
The cameos are really powerful.
The cameos
as well.
Are great.
Yeah.
Last season, John Hamm was following David around because he was going to be playing him in a movie, and he had to learn all of Larry David's mannerisms.
He's the dude that plays the kind of other guy in that movie that Larry David did, like in the middle of all this stuff.
Yes.
He kind of released a movie about the car called The Howard and stuff. And I actually kind of like that movie. I think everyone should go back and rewatch it because it's pretty mint. And it's got Danny McBride in it as well, so anything with Danny McBride. Yeah.
Yes. My tongue. Ham is, you know, he was a he spent years doing comedy before Mad Men. But then kind of propelled into this sort of archetypal, gruff, very attractive leading man. Loves undercutting that with comedy now.
It's powerful when you see a really good-looking person doing good comedy. It's like, fuck, goddamn it.
Totally. And he kind of gets to do both of those things, you know. He gets to both sort of skewer himself, do a bit of drama and comedy in this. You know, he's in the first episode. I think guest stars of the episode that was on last night isn't really spoilers too much, is it? We can say who I watched on the TV last night.
Yes, please.
Lucy Liu is Larry David's dating her as the season commences. in, you know, a classically mismatched Hollywood relationship.
Yes.
And comedy legend Albert Brooks, who is very much a contemporary of David's, the quite egocentric idea, Albert Brooks, that he's been to too many funerals. Why do people only say nice things after people are dead?
Mm.
He wants to hold a memorial for himself and be able to watch it from the next room and hear all the lovely things his friends want to say about him.
I'm sure I've seen this gag before.
Knowing Curb Your Enthusiasm as we all do, you could probably guess that does not go according to exact plan.
Mm. I feel like actually East Pound and Down is probably
a new... Who could ever say?
Yeah. Do you know if there's any more... I got Danny McBride on the brain now. Do you know if they're going to do any more like Righteous Gemstones or anything like that?
I think they were going to do a second season.
Just anything Danny McBride
is
so good.
Yeah, that was... I think that was a COVID-disrupted scenario, actually. That may have been held up by... all this nonsense.
Mm.
And there's a season 3 is coming of the show.
Okay. His character
there's more.
Character in Eastbound and Down is kind of like a more aggressive Larry David, basically, and way more confident. Just douchebaggy.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
we've all probably got some of those voices in our heads somewhere. Let's just be honest about it. That's probably one of the reasons it works so well. It's not like you're watching someone that you cannot possibly conceive of the things that they're saying and doing.
It's still funny either way, you know?
It sure is. So anyway, one down, 9 more to go. I can't wait to see where the season goes. Long may that theme and font strike terror into people that do not like the show, because... it's magnificent.
Isn't it just like yellow block lettering?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it started in 2000. That was all the fonts that were around.
I feel like that's
then.
The best subtitle.
I don't know if you remember what print looked like back then, but it was
the best
very
and most,
basic.
Most regal subtitles you can get are just like the stoic ass kind of yellow ones. They just pop. Love it.
Indeed. Probably can't talk enough about that piece of music, Frolic, which is the music that sits behind Curb's credits and key moments. What a famous piece of music that's just been kicking around since the 70s now.
Kao pai.
Someone got a new power out of that, didn't they? You'd hope so. Alright, chaps. Look. What else has been going on? What have you been watching?
What have I been watching?
Half of Gremlins 2.
I haven't been watching anything. I've just been mixing. I've been watching a DAW cutting waveforms in half.
Whoa.
Zooming in and cleaning up.
That's a good feeling when you get the tidy going.
Mm. I'll probably remember what I've watched right after we've finished this conversation.
Yeah, no, I'm going to do the same. To be honest, this week's been a little bit light for me. I think it's... the kind of binge hasn't been a binge week, that's for sure, in my household. But, you know, the TV's not going to watch itself, not with all these days at home. Or is it? Find out next week.
All right,
see you then.
We'll see you then. Okay,
cheers.
Bye.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
Flicksnat on 95BFM.